a question a lot of us are asking, you know, looking at how much time you spent in the U.S. so far, is playing for the Eagles hopefully in your future plans?
As of now, I'm taking it year by year. My plan is to stay in America. We'll see what the future holds, but if the time does come and that opportunity presents itself, it's definitely something I would be keen on doing. But for now, it's just taking it year by year and playing, trying to focus on my year, like personally and rugby. If it happens to come up and the opportunity is there, it's something I'll definitely be keen on doing in the future.
Welcome to U.S. Rugby Happy Hour Live. Interviews with the biggest names in American rugby.
The New England Free Jacks, Major League Rugby Champions.
One-on-one to score!
Here are your hosts, Bill Baker and that other guy.
Hey everybody, I am Bill Baker. This is John Fitzpatrick, and this is U.S. Rugby Happy Hour Live. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Finally got that line perfect. It's been 10 episodes so far. Got it down. Hopefully everyone got that and heard it. What's going on, Fitzy? How are you?
Bill, I'm doing great today, man. It's hard to believe, but we're into week 4 of MLR. But seriously, like we talked about this last episode, from here through like August, there's not a weekend where there isn't awesome rugby going, whether it's MLR, whether it's internationals, you name it. It's happening, man, so strap in.
There's so much. I mean, just domestically, there's so much, especially with the USA matches coming up again soon.
Yeah.
MLR's been great. I mean, even the teams that we thought there's no way they're going to perform. I mean, Anthem has not looked horrible. They've done some good stuff with that young crowd. LA's done, I think they've performed well. They haven't won, but I think they're putting things together. Miami the same way. They're just, I can see Miami possibly putting a win or two on the board.
I think we in week 4 here, we could see both LA and Miami get in the win column.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about our first guest in a couple minutes, his match.
Yes.
Coming up. Is it Friday night or is that Saturday? Friday Night Lights.
Yep.
Undefeateds at Starfire. Mm-hmm. And I've been there. I know he's been there. I don't know if you've been there, but that's a great crowd. It's a tough place to play.
Yeah.
So it is really cool. Before we get going, I want to promo something. I haven't told much people about this, but I just did an interview with the directors of this movie called Uproar. All right, it's a really good film. It's based out of New Zealand back in 1981. You can see the names of the talent in it right there, and I'll talk about them in a second. But I had a chance to talk to the directors of this film, and keep that low so you can see it. But as you see, Julian Dennison is the star of this film, and everyone knows him from a bunch of different films, including Ryan Reynolds films, Minnie Driver. I mean, and Rhys Darby is so good in this film, but it's so emotional, and there's a rugby aspect to this film that it's not main part of it, but it's an important part of the film. And I was actually thrown back about how they were able to shoot the film for like these old 1981 rugby scenes, because they have the old cotton jerseys on, Fitzy?
Yeah.
But, it's got a great cast. And it was such... You can see Julian doing the haka right there. It was actually during one of the audition tapes. But in this interview with... I'm going to go ahead and close it off. There you go. Him playing prop. In this interview with the directors... what are the director's name? Oh, Hamish Bennett and Paul Benedict. They're so involved. They lived it. At least Hamish did in New Zealand. He's a Maori, and they talk about the race issues in '81 when South Africa toured New Zealand. But it's really about this Maori area where the racism they're going through and all white schools, that kind of stuff. But they, and by the way, Paul in the middle there, he actually produced one of the most famous ads, at least out of the Southern Hemisphere. Carlton Draft, I think it's called. It's called The Big Ad. So he was behind that. You got to look it up one time. Check it out. Right. I mean, it's actually a really cool ad because it's like that Super Bowl ad that you would do if you had the money. The whole entire time, a bunch of people singing, "It's a big ad. It's a big ad." it's really cool. So that interview we're going to push that on Friday night this week.
Okay.
So look for that amongst these other interviews, also with tonight's guest as well. So a lot of fun talking to those two, and a good time. Other than that,
the movie's got Murray from Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, yes.
Jermaine?
Yep.
Chick?
Reese's, by the way, Reese's mannerisms, the one on the left in this whole movie, just cracked me up. And it is a funny movie, but it's definitely, I always it's okay. I'm a crier. I was crying during one of his last scenes that Minnie Driver put on. Minnie's is Julian's or Josh's mother in this movie, and it's so good. So it's in select theaters right now. Just came out this past weekend, and I'm sure it'll be on Netflix or something like that soon this year. So check it out. We got some ticket stuff to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. So USA Rugby, the Women's Eagles are taking on Canada, hosting Canada April 28th. That's the first time the U.S. women have played on U.S. soil since, what, like 2021 or something like that? Can you believe it? Part of that American series, it's good to see both the men's and women's Eagles taking on Canada, our friendly rivalry up north. But the great part about that April 28th game is that it's a doubleheader. There's an MLR game with the RFC LA. But we've got two things going on, right, Bill? We've got a ticket giveaway. So either on my Instagram, Rugby Morning, or Bill's Instagram or Twitter, Eagle Overseas, we are giving away two free tickets. So you have two chances to win either Rugby Morning or Eagle Overseas. You have to follow us, like, find our post, like it, and then explain why you prefer Rugby Morning or Eagle Overseas over the other one, and we'll pick two randomly. So four people have a chance to
actually for six people.
Six.
So right, we're you're given two. Right. Eagles Overseas is given two, and this show is given away too.
Yes.
So as you tune to this show, drop a comment, mostly Facebook and the YouTube feeds.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead and write, I want tickets, and then, you know, leave a comment. Leave a comment for our first guest, David Cusser, and then Charlie Jacoby later. Mm-hmm. You know, do it, and that will put you pretty high up at the top of that list for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you don't win the ticket giveaway, it's all good. You can receive 10% off your ticket purchase. We'll share the link out, but you can use promo code either Eagle Overseas or Rugby Morning. I would prefer Rugby Morning for obvious reasons. But if I won't be offended if you use Eagles Overseas, perfectly fine. Just let's sell it out. Let's pack out the house. It's gonna be a huge match. It's the start of the women's Pac-4 series. Great way to kick off 2024. So let's sell it out. Let's pack out the house.
Absolutely. All right. One last thing before we get to our first guest.
Yeah.
Listeners, please like, follow, and subscribe to this show. YouTube, subscribe to the YouTube feed. That really helps us get up in the rankings. And Facebook, you know, like the Facebook account. And like I said, follow us also on social media, Eagles Overseas and Rugby Morning. And we are on most social media channels. Pretty easy to find us. And we have a couple of newsletters for you to get on as well. All right. With that said, let's jump into our first guest. This guy is Week 2 MLR Team of the Week member. Then he got a nice rest last weekend so he could, you know, prepare for this show. Nothing else. Just to get ready for this show. Let's all welcome Houston Sabercats fly half, David Coetzer. How are you, David?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm doing good.
You know, I'm horrible with names. I've heard your name a number of times. Am I saying your last name right?
I mean, I'll give it to you. That's good enough.
Yeah. No, Bill, you did it. Woo!
How you doing, David?
Not good. It's been a short week of prep. Short turnaround from Saturday to Seattle this weekend, but I mean, it was a good week of training, so just excited for this weekend. It'll be a big one.
Yeah, no, we're going to jump into that in a second, but let's go back to not this past weekend, but the prior weekend when you made your Team of the Week selection. You had been sore after that match. A lot of tackles. I mean, a lot of flying offloads. A lot of meters gained as well. That was a heck of a match for you. You must have been proud of yourself after that game.
Yeah, I mean, going to LA, especially a team that plays so much, and they just constantly came at it. You know, they don't ever die down, and you know, it was just a continuous game until 80 minutes. It was tough out there. Lungs were burning quite a bit, quite a few meters on the legs. But yeah, I mean, after the first week's performance, I wasn't really happy with my performance in that first week. A lot of rustiness. So that was like the big thing. I just wanted to get a good game under the belt as well. And I felt like I stepped it up a bit from week one to then. So yeah, I was pretty happy with that performance.
All right. You just mentioned a second ago, you've got Seattle Friday night. We mentioned it also in the pre-show. Big match, two undefeated. It's early in the season. You know, talk about preps for this match. Anything specific you're working on to help your chances of winning this game?
I think for this game, it's more mental than anything else. I think such a short turnaround, you can't prep too much, try and focus too much on the other team. It's more about focusing on what we can do and how we can improve our game. Like, I think especially the last 3 weeks' games, there's been some good passages of play, some good moments we've showed. But, you know, a game like that, you have to put everything together and actually come up with a good performance, because it's not an easy place to play. Not to say to win there is a very tough thing to do. So it's more about just getting the mental side right and everybody being on board with what we want to achieve and what we want to do, and go out there and execute it. That's the main thing, is executing what we want to do as a team, not focus too much on what they want to do or what they're going to do. It's more about us getting our things right.
Now, Davey, of course, you know, us in the media are hyping this game up, right? Because it's the two last unbeaten teams in MLR right now, and it's Friday night, right? There's something fun about, you know, being the only team playing on Friday night. But, you know, with it's, you know, being so early in the season, do the boys still feel, does this game feel like something more because it is two unbeaten teams, or are we just still too early in the season to really try and draw anything meaningful, win or loss, coming from it?
No, I think from both sides, it's a very meaningful game. Every time we play against Seattle, I think there's quite a bit of a rivalry there, especially within the two teams, the players. Even if you speak to some of their boys, it's like almost like a kind of a derby against each other. So, no, it's absolutely, both teams want to win. We're not taking this game lightly. We know what we're facing. We know what it's going to be like. It's not going to be easy out there, but I think both teams, we want to win, especially so early in the season. You know, you want to start stacking up those wins, put pressure on different teams. And I think where we are at the moment, both teams, so 3 out of 3, you know, it's a big game, especially when you play against teams from your same conference. It's massive to get wins, especially away from home. So that's what we're targeting this weekend.
And you mentioned, we did talk about the scene at Starlink in Seattle, how it's a great crowd. Pre-show, we mentioned about New England as well. You know, and maybe more of a derby atmosphere. Where else is a tough place where it's a real competitive match?
Seattle, I'd say, is tough. I remember when we played in D.C., when was it 2 years ago? My first year, crowd was pretty rowdy out there as well. But yeah, I would say Seattle is definitely the toughest place to play. I remember every time you kick a goal, you can barely hear anything else on the field. The crowd is so loud out there. So it's a tough place to play, and they do get behind their team. I'll give it to them. But, you know, it's the same thing when we play at home. I feel like we also have like such a great crowd, and that's the great thing about this league. I think the more supporters and more fans are getting involved in the game, it's like home field is definitely an advantage. Mm-hmm. And that's the way you like it, you know. And even there, going to play at Seattle, even though the crowd's loud and not for you, it's always great to hear voices and the loud spectator base out there.
Yeah, Davey, I got a quick question about that. We just had a chat saying from USA Rugby League fan that Seattle-Houston's going to be a heavyweight showdown, and I definitely agree. And Houston's home crowd has been phenomenal the last few seasons. But I got to ask you a question about that, right? Because, you know, here in the States, you know, you probably know, you've seen it, right, in other sports like basketball or football, even baseball, right? Like, the opposing crowd shouts and yells during, like, free throw shots or, like, pitches.
Yeah.
As a kicker, how do you feel about the opposing team kind of getting loud when you're lining up for a kick? I mean, you hear it. But do you like it, or, you know, just what are your thoughts when you try and line up a kick and you got that crowd yelling at you?
That's a great question, actually. I try to tell myself that I don't like it or that it doesn't bother me, but I think when they do get loud like that, you still hear it. As much as you try and block it out and stuff like that, it will affect it in a way, but all you try and do is just stick to your process. I think that's the main thing. Trying to go through your normal process and execute what you have to do. But I would say you definitely hear them out there. Obviously, we'd prefer as kickers if everyone was quiet. But,
yeah,
I mean, growing up as well, you know, you've always, like, even high school and stuff like that, you you face that. It's part of the game. So you do get used to it eventually, or you have to get used to it, let me put it that way.
One more. Yeah, David, quick question. Have you heard anything like that was kind of funny where you had to like pause for a second and not laugh?
Nothing specific. I think when it's like a massive crowd, you just hear that loud roar of people. You can't really identify a single voice. But I remember, like I said, in DC 2 years ago, I did have some people. They're just like giving me banter, like number 10, you're gonna miss this, and just give me stuff like that. But I usually find it funny, because the best thing is if you can execute that kick and you kick it over, just to give a little glance at the crowd. You know, that's the best part of it. Keep them quiet.
Was that you, Fitzy? That was you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it could have been my buddy Alistair Kirschpool. Who goes to every single home game. It could have been him. And if that wasn't him, I apologize.
No, I actually enjoy that. I think it's usually funny.
Oh, that's great.
So you mentioned that you experienced that in, you know, schoolboy, high school, that kind of stuff. I always see that as kind of an Americanized kind of thing for the sport. With that said, some players have said that maybe to have this league succeed in the United States, maybe we do have to Americanize it a little bit. Not necessarily the rules, but maybe the presentation, the entertainment side of it, the fans yelling at the kicker. Is that something that you could, you know, buy into?
Absolutely. I mean, if it brings in more people to come watch the game, I think that's the main thing at the moment, is especially like in USA Rugby at the moment, we need to cater for whatever's going to bring the people in. If that's entertainment and that type of thing, then so be it. I think the big thing is, how do we get the fan bases in, and how do we get people more involved in the game? And I think especially the entertainment part of it is essential for that. If there's things for them to come enjoy the game, because I think, like most of you know, some people come for the first time, they don't really understand the rules of the game. At least if they enjoy themselves and there's entertainment out there for them, for them wanting to come back to more games, you know, you'll learn the game as it goes. But I think whatever brings the crowds and the fans in is the most important part for now. Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about your teammates, Davey. Obviously, you share the number 10 with AJ Alatumu, who played for Seattle last year. Any words of wisdom from him about the team you're about to face? And also, are you two traveling for this match?
Yes, we'll be traveling for this match.
Oh, we lost him.
AJ is such an experienced player. It's easy when you've got someone like that on the team, especially the way we've been handling like the last couple of months. You know, it's not about competing for a position, really. It's actually trying to help each other out as much as we can. And I'm always keen to learn from someone that has that experience. You know, he's such a great player and a better person off the field as well. So I know he's very excited for this weekend. Obviously, it's a massive weekend for him. So, yeah, look, if we can go out there and get it done, you know, for him, it'll be massive as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, David, let's talk a little bit more about this current team. I mean, I think we all know there's a pretty heavy South African influence, you know, with the SaberCats from the top down. But, you know, speak a little bit more about what is kind of the brand of the rugby in Houston there. What's kind of the team identity or the style that you guys want to play?
Yeah, I think, like you guys have seen probably in the last couple of years, it's winning set piece dominance. I think that's world rugby in general. If you have a pack that can dominate from the front, you know, that sets everything up for the rest of them. But that being said, I think the last 2 years we played a very simplistic style of rugby. Sometimes people could say it was pretty boring to watch. So what we did was, out of last year, they took feedback from the players, coaches, assessed everything from the year, and we try to find ways where we can express ourselves within our system. So that's like getting the backs involved in how we can play a more effective brand of rugby, with not just being about the scrums or the mauls or things like that. So the set piece and the forward pack, that's still the main priority. It's like you have to win it up there if you want to win games. I mean, if you come up in a game, you can't win your lineouts, you can't win your scrums, chance of you winning a game is slim. And I think our kicking game is also a massive part of how we play. You know, we try to pressure and suffocate teams and get result from that. So I think that's mainly our identity, is is being strong up front and then having a good and efficient kicking game. And then when we get the opportunities to strike and get the momentum, use the backs, yeah.
Let's talk about the forwards for a second. One of the forwards, and I apologize. I was just texting somebody. But I may have missed it, but the young kid, Seth Smith. It's nice to see a kid coming to the league that young and growing up through the academy system. Hopefully we see more of that. So we'll talk about Seth a bit.
Such a great player. I'll tell you, I think in a couple of years he's going to – I think he'll definitely be an Eagle. He's got such a good attitude and such a great work ethic. I mean, off season he was running with a couple of us every single day out of trainings. Such a workhorse, and the thing I like about him the most is he's so eager to learn. So it's not that of that he's 18 years old, he made an MR, and he's thinking, you know, he's made it or whatever. It's that constant thing that he wants to keep on learning. He's asking questions to the right guys all the time, trying to make an impact like that. And that's why I'm saying he's got the right attitude. That's why I think he'll definitely go for such a beast of a player as well. I couldn't believe that an 18-year-old can match up to some of the big boys like that. So, yeah, I think he's an unbelievable prospect for USA one day, for sure.
Well, David, we had Seth on a couple of weeks ago, and you talk about a good attitude. He kept calling me and Bill sir, and I was like, Seth, I appreciate that, but you don't have to call me sir. Okay, you leave that for my dad.
Yeah. Oh, hey. He's a good kid.
He's a little gentleman. That's what he is. For sure.
So you mentioned him being a USA Eagle a moment ago, or potentially down the road a moment ago. So a question of a lot of us are asking, you know, looking at how much time you spent in the U.S. so far, is playing for the Eagles hopefully in your future plans?
As of now, I'm taking it year by year. My plan is to stay in America. We'll see what the future holds, but if the time does come and that opportunity presents itself, it's definitely something I would be keen on doing. But for now, it's just taking it year by year and playing, trying to focus on my year, like personally and rugby, how it's going for me. And then if it happens to come up and the opportunity is there, it's something I'll definitely be keen on doing in the future.
And what are the fly halves with you growing up? You know, what other players have you followed? Like, who have been those? You probably haven't been a fly half since forever, but, you know, which players did you love growing up?
I used to love watching Dan Carter. I know he was a Kiwi. I probably shouldn't be saying that. I should probably be saying some South African, but I used to love watching Dan Carter growing up. I mean, he just had like a complete game to him and always aspired to be like him. And then like the modern era, it's Andre Pollard, Damian McKenzie, guys like that. Absolutely love watching them play. Complete generals of the game. And that's the type of game you try and become in yourself. I think Andre Pollard and McKenzie in the current times, but Dan Carter will forever be my number one. Yeah,
I like him too.
Yeah. David, as you're talking a little bit, stepping back, just talking a little bit about, you know, you've been living here in the States for a bit, but traveling through the U.S., have you had a favorite city that you've been to, or is there a part of the country that you haven't been to yet that you're keen to check out?
I do enjoy California quite a bit. Every time I go there, beaches. Actually enjoyed when it was in L.A. 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Went for an early morning swim there at the beach before the game, so that was pretty nice. Then somewhere I want to go still, and that's in my plans to travel this year. I want to go to Nashville, country. That's definitely somewhere I want to go. And then I really enjoy going down to Fort Worth. They're close by Dallas.
Yeah,
I enjoy going there as well. I think usually when we have some time off, I usually go down there for a weekend or so. I really enjoy it there as well.
Have you been to the Austin area, and or have you gone to a University of Texas football game yet?
I haven't. That was the one thing we were trying to do. I think it was last year, but it's just like I heard it's crazy. It's difficult to get tickets as well, and I don't know really where to go watch. But that's one we want to go to. I know in College Station, but it's just a couple of hours away from here. But that is definitely on the bucket list to go watch one of those games. So it gets absolutely crazy out there.
Well, like at least 100,000 fans for an amateur sport. That's crazy.
Yeah, they said the tailgating is better than the actual game. So I think that's one thing I need to go check out.
Yeah. You still have to make it into the game, so be careful with the tailgating. You know, if I'm going to jump on this one, who was it we had? Gary Gold, I think, was on one point, and another player mentioned monkey gland sauce.
Matt Heaton. Was it Matt Heaton?
Is it Matt Heaton? I forget. Are you familiar with that?
Monkey gland sauce.
Yeah.
No? All right.
Nah.
Isn't that South African?
It could
like
be.
Like a barbecue sauce?
Hmm.
Oh, it could be.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe if it's like a brand associated with it.
I hope it's a brand, because I don't want that to be in the ingredients.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I'm not actually too sure what it is.
Well, I guess,
so,
yes.
Well, sorry. Right,
yeah, yeah, to that question. Yeah, I guess, like, you know, as it relates to, you know, Texas, you know, Texas does barbecue pretty well. Houston does barbecue pretty well. Memphis, Nashville. Are you a barbecue guy, I guess? First question there.
I do like barbecue, but I just can't eat too much of it. It's like, it's a little bit too rich for me. I struggle eating too much of it. But it is good. I have had some barbecue, yeah. Especially in Texas, I mean, there's quite a lot of barbecue places around, and I have had it, and I do enjoy it. It's just I just can't eat too much of it. It's just a little bit too rich for me.
You need to have more Fijian players or Samoans and have them do a little pig roast. You just gotta find the beach.
Yeah, they actually do it. Yeah, I think like every year we try and like do the different culture thing in our team. So it's like from different places, let's say South African 1 week or 1 month, and then the Islanders will be a different, and they have actually done that before, roasted a pig for us. So that was great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So good. That was the best thing about me playing with some of my Fijian teammates. Two things. One, the food, and they were on my team, not the other one, because they were just so good.
I know. I'm also glad we have them on our team.
So, David, you're in Seattle Friday night. Where's the team playing the following week?
Sorry?
Where are you guys playing the following week? So you have Seattle Friday night.
We've got Seattle Friday, and then it's Dallas the following Friday in Dallas, just before Easter weekend, yeah.
Is that the Texas Cup? Is that what that is?
I don't know if the Texas Cup is still going. I remember a couple of years ago with Austin in there,
Austin.
It was still a thing, but I don't know if it's still a thing.
Well, David, man, listen, we've taken up enough of your time. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, it's been great talking to you, and I know that question about USA comes up, and you're probably like, all right, someone else is going to ask me that question. So, but we do have listeners always like, please ask them. Okay, fine. Leave me alone.
No, it's all good.
but you know, we're you know, we've interviewed Scott Lawrence, we've interviewed a bunch of the USA players and the coaches, and you know, I love AJ McGinty. I love watching him play, but you know. Age, everything else happens, so you got to look for depth at certain positions. So we look at players like you. Well, we as fans look at players like you.
Yeah.
Hopefully stepping in or getting your chance. We got, 13? Fitzy, with the 13 men's matches this year?
Yeah. Niner, maybe?
No,
yeah.
Well, I think there's going to be more added. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. There's matches on the schedule. That's all that matters. There's matches on the schedule.
That's good, yeah. The more they play, the better they're going to get, for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, buddy. Thanks again, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
Yeah. Good guy. Good conversation. I'm glad we finally talked to him. It's just funny asking that question about USA rugby players.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
What's it going to be? Yeah. Give me the fucking ball. Everyone else sucks.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta think about it, right? You know, sure, Scott Lawrence and the coaching staff are looking about, you know, behind AJ, okay, looking at 27 and 31, who's coming up in the pipeline. And, you know, it sounds like there's a number of some domestic options there. It's kind of the U20 stage, but in that in-between interim, you know, certainly we got Luke Hardy, but, you know, more names we can throw in there. And if, you know, Davey's getting close to being eligible, then we'll throw him in the mix. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know?
So, this comment.
Monkey gland sauce.
As always, please like, follow, and subscribe this podcast. If you're on YouTube, subscribe. Leave us a comment. Send the link to your friends. Follow us at Eagles Overseas and at Rugby Morning.